Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, we made it to Friday.
Start spreading the news.
So there you go. That, of course, means Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I hear Frank. I know it's Friday.
All right. Well, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and luckily for me, I didn't have to take any tests to post the blogs over there, so they go up regularly. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Stu still is not on Twitter. We're still trying to work that out, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will pass along any message you'd like to give to Stu, as long as it's not, you know, too vile or dirty. So there you go. All right, so I guess on the good news, you'll actually be able to stay home to watch the Cubs game. I think that's good news, right?
Right. I was planning on heading to the rooftops across the street to spend $300-$400 to watch an obstructed view of the game.
So, yeah, I no surprise there. I didn't hear any terms of the deal in it or anything like that. But yeah, apparently the marquee or Comcast, you have Comcast,
yes,
and the marquee network came to an agreement. I was confused there for a minute because, of course, I have AT&T. But yeah, they came to a last minute agreement so Stu can stay home and watch the game tonight.
How about that? I know it's a multi-year deal, but they didn't disclose terms. They didn't disclose how long the multi-year deal is for. So I'll be able to relax tonight and watch the boys play the Brewers.
There you go. So hopefully it will be a decent game. I was actually a little concerned. You know, I was going to set my fantasy lineup, and you know, we go through Yahoo, and normally Yahoo is really good about keeping up with what's going on in baseball and everything, and for some reason they actually had Javi Baez listed as not being in the starting lineup. So I, of course, frantically ran around the internet trying to find a Cubs starting lineup to make sure that was incorrect. And of course, fortunately it was. I don't know what they were thinking or what information they had that he wasn't going to start, but he's hitting third in the Cubs lineup today. So we're okay there.
Well, who do they have playing shortstop in his absence?
They didn't have a list. What they do, when you sign in and it's your lineup because it's the team you drafted, and what normally happens, like if the lineup has been announced, you either get a green check mark for a guy starting or a red X for the guys who aren't starting. So, you know, I was going through just to double check my lineup because obviously the first day I don't want to miss out on a guy who's not playing. You know, I want to get the at-bats, get off to a good start. And I know technically it's the second day, but there were only two games yesterday, so get over it. The first full day, how does that sound? And yeah, for some reason there was just an X by his name, and I was like, okay, great, I got to go look into this, because right away I'm thinking, you know, did he pep positive, you know, and is he going to be out now for however many weeks it takes before you can get back, like, you know, so many guys had. But yeah, no, I went and hunted it down, and you know, one of the more reputable sites, it's the MLB.com starting lineup site that I like to use. And they got him sitting here batting third, playing shortstop. So I'm guessing there's no issue.
So by the time you go back, though, that I assume that red X is gone and the green check mark is there?
No, it's actually still there because I had originally taken him out of the lineup, and then I went and checked, and then I went and put him back in the lineup, you know, when I found out he was starting, and he's still, for whatever reason, he's still marked as not being a starter. I'm just wondering if maybe Yahoo hasn't caught up because, you know, obviously all the lineups are coming out at the same time pretty much. So, yeah, I was just wondering if maybe they hadn't caught up yet. And, you know, eventually, you know, they'll get it correct. But, yeah, it was just like, wait, what happened? So.
Yeah, that's not – they should be a little bit more accurate than that because doesn't that affect your lineup? If you didn't bother – if you didn't check the MLB Network and MLB.com, you would have had him out of the lineup. You would have to make a substitute. And if he went 3-for-3 or 3-for-4, you'd be upset.
So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, like, our league is free. So, you know, even if I would have missed out, it wouldn't have been like a death blow or anything like that. But, you know, even though it's free, I still want to win, you know, because I got to beat Dan because I want to make sure I can rub it in Dan's face when we're doing all this because he's the baseball guy. So, yeah, you know, that's a little bit of an issue there when it comes to that. But, I mean, I could just imagine – you know, if you're in a money league somewhere and you're checking your lineup and you're like, you know, because, you know, Yahoo now offers money leagues like everybody else does. And you're like, wait, he's not starting. Man, I got to get him out of my lineup. Well, hopefully you go back, you know, you got a couple hours yet or an hour, I think, now to go back and check. But, yeah, I mean, imagine if you were stuck at work and couldn't get to your lineup and you'd taken him out.
Yeah, that sounds like an early season glitch that they'll probably correct next time out. You hope.
So, yeah, you know, but I do. Here's what the Cubs end up going with for their lineup tonight. They have Chris Bryant leading off at third. It's Anthony Rizzo batting second at first. Of course, Baez, like I mentioned, hitting third at short. Kyle Schwarber going to start in the left field tonight and hit cleanup. Wilson Contreras catches and hits fifth. Jason Hayward hits sixth and right. Victor Caratini is their first DH tonight. He hits seventh. Nico Horner is the starting second baseman. He'll hit eighth. And Ian Happ hits ninth and plays center field. So, you know, a couple twists from what I thought we were going to get in this lineup. But hopefully Rizzo's healthy and we won't have to worry about it, right?
Right. And were you surprised that Horner is playing second instead of Kipnis?
Yeah, you know, that was quite a shock because it really seemed like they were leaning towards Kipnis being the guy. So I was a little surprised to see Horner in there. I you know, and of course the thing that, you know, it always surprises me when they do this because they're just clowns, and I'm guessing David Ross will be in the Joe Maddon school on this is, you know, you got Noel Mora in the lineup again. You know, it's going to be Ian Happ in center, who they're, I guess, going to try to make into the player he was supposed to be when they originally drafted him, even though he's been nowhere close to it since then. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we'll get another year of Al Mora just wasting away on the bench and playing part-time.
Yeah, it looks like, to me, Al Mora certainly looks like he's regressed quite a bit since his glory days, and I'm wondering if that's from lack of playing time or just – the league has caught up with him, and he doesn't seem to know how to adjust. Yeah.
No, I'm sure if he would play, he would put up better numbers. You know, remember you had the same problem with Caratini, and then all of a sudden he started to play more and he hit better.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, regular at-bats seem to help guys hit better. You know, I know that sounds weird how that happens, but, yeah, you know, the more pitching you see, the better you're going to hit it. And still to this day, I don't understand why they hold on to this guy when they could have gotten value for him, you know, down the line here a year or two ago. I mean, it's, you know, they knew this is what they were going to do with him because Joe Maddon gave every excuse in the book to not play him when he was the manager. You know, why didn't, you know, they could have dealt him for a quality reliever or maybe even a third starter that they could have developed. And maybe that's a bad word because the Cubs don't know anything about developing starting pitching, But yeah, instead, you know, this guy rots on their bench as the fourth outfielder, and then, you know, he's basically the scapegoat for not turning into the player he was supposed to be when he hasn't been given a chance.
Do you think this is his last season with the Cubs?
You know, whenever he finally gets to free agency, I don't know how far away he is, you know, because he's, you know, he's obviously an arbitration guy. But, yeah, I mean, he would, you know, unless there are no other offers, it would be stupid for him to re-sign and just, you know, there are plenty of teams out there that he could start for and play every day. You know, and I know the Orioles attempted to trade for him last year, and for whatever the reason, the Cubs couldn't come to an agreement with them and, you know, just decided to hold on to him and let him, you know, spend time on the bench as Ian Happ busted out and spent most of the year in the minors.
Yeah, though, truth be told, though, when they brought him back up, he certainly hit quite well in the short time that he was with the team after he was in the minors for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, but, you know, you'd have to go back and look to see what kind of pitching he was facing at that time, because being that it was late in the season in September, you know, you never know what kind of quality pitching he ran into. It may have been teams that were bringing up guys and, you know, all that stuff. And here I found Almora's stuff. Unfortunately for Almora, he is stuck with the Cubs till through the 2022 season. He doesn't become a free agent until 2023. So unless they do decide to deal him, it looks like he'll be stuck doing, you know, coming up as a first-round bust without any playing time.
Yeah, he's a talented outfielder, though. There's no doubt about that. And he looked like he was going to be a solid hitter for a while, but for whatever reason, despite the fact that he did get some decent playing time at one time, it looked like his swing has deserted him. He just doesn't have the same stroke that he had 2 or 3 years ago. As you said, maybe the lack of playing time has a lot to do with it, but you can't take away his talent in the outfield as a very, very solid defensive outfielder in center field.
Yeah, that, you know, I mean, you always got to wonder, you know, it's the same, you know, it could be along the same lines as the issue Jason Hayward had where he tampered with his swing for basically no reason, and it didn't really do him any good, and it took him almost an entire freaking year to get it back. And in reality, I don't even know if he's still really back, but, you know, he's better than what he was.
He hit 21 home runs last year. Of course, everybody hit 21 home runs last year too, right, when you think about it.
Yeah, and you can expect that again this year because you know they're going to juice the ball up. So we're going to get homer after homer. So
it'll be exciting and interesting. And I don't know what you have planned for the rest of the broadcast, but I saw some interesting things today. I wanted to see if you noticed these things, these predictions that the local sports writers reported. Very interesting.
Oh,
did you check some of those out?
No, I didn't hear anybody making predictions or anything, so this will be fun.
Yeah, I saw some of those today, some of the well-known sports writers, and surprisingly, a couple of them picked the White Sox to win the American League Central Division. Does that surprise you?
No, they've actually been everybody looks for kind of that upset pick, and they seem to be that team that everybody's kind of hitching their wagon to. I saw a couple guys on the MLB Network pick them to win the division as well.
Yeah, and I also saw some other sports writers picking Cincinnati to win the NL Central, which is interesting.
Yeah, you know, I saw a couple of those. Most of the people I saw picking still had St. Louis winning, which I was kind of surprised by, but it's really spread. The Central, the NL Central is the most even division in all of baseball. So I've seen, you know, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Reds being picked. The only team that I haven't seen picked to win it is the Pirates. So,
right.
Yeah,
it's
not.
That's a given. And this is something that's kind of frightening, I thought, and with all the predictions that we're talking about and the various sports writers. And some of them were picking the final record the Cubs would wind up with, and two or three of them all picked around 32 wins for the Cubs, 32-28, which is reasonable. Now, here's one that's scary, though. One sports writer said, I think the Cubs are going to be 17-12 or 16-13. I said, wait a minute, how could that happen? He thinks that the season will not come to a conclusion. He thinks there's going to be an outbreak of COVID-19 among the players, and that's why he only picked 29 games for the Cubs as compared to the 60 schedule, because he thinks he's convinced the season will not come to not be completed because of because of the bug. I don't know if you saw that story or not, but there's a well-known writer in the Chicago area who made this prediction.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think that's just kind of a guy who's looking for, you know, web hits, as they say. You know, so he's going to be different to get his story out there. You know, I mean, I know there, you know, there's always the chance that they would have to shut the season down, but it's, you know, it's going to take a heck of an outbreak, and we're going to need multiple teams to not be able to field before the MLB goes that route. I mean, it, you know, we're talking 60 games in a really short amount of time here. So, again, you know, it's possible, but I – you know, it's just one of those doomsday guys who's going to, you know, predict this. And it's like, you know, now you're out on, you know, now you're on the island by yourself. If it happens, you look like a genius. If not, you pretend you never said it like all the media guys do. And you hope nobody ever brings up the article again. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that he's wrong, of course. And of course, now, by the way, we also see that the playoff format has been revamped a little bit, so it'll be a little bit more playoff action this season than there has been in years past.
Yeah, I mean, they should have predicted both Chicago teams would make the playoffs, because when you're getting, you know, 16 teams into the playoffs, that's half the league. You know, it would be embarrassing if you don't make the playoffs this year in baseball and you got a decent team, you should readily be embarrassed and probably be looking for a new manager.
Yeah, they said 53%, which is makes sense, because there's 30 teams in the league, and we're talking 16 teams. So, yeah, they're right. Over 50% of the teams will be in the playoffs. So it would behoove all these teams to make a concerted effort to make the playoffs this year, assuming the season will continue. And as you pointed out, boy, if you don't make the playoffs this year, you better be looking for a new job as a manager.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got to think, like, you know, if you're one of, you know, since we were talking about the NL Central, if you're one of those four teams and you can't find your way into the playoffs, if whoever's managing those teams really should be on the hot seat, because there's no excuse for not getting in the playoffs this year. So, you know, it's just, it's hockey basically.
Yeah, that's right. And interesting that they're always picking around all the teams, all the four teams winding up around 31, 32 wins maybe. And so it's not going to be too much in separating the four teams when it's all said and done.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's so tough, and you know, you do wonder, you know, are one of these teams that we think is going to contend and, you know, really have a shot to win, are one of them going to get off, or maybe more than one, get off to a start that they're not going to be able to recover from? You know, and I mean, obviously the question popped into my head right away last night. You know, the Nationals just lost their best everyday player. You know, Juan Soto tested positive for the virus, so he's going to be out for as long as the protocol takes. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or, you know, however that works out, but you know, with Anthony Rendon gone, he's far and away their best everyday player. You know, they have quality pitching, but, you know, that you know, how well can they carry him in a situation like this where you're going to get, you know, four or five innings? I know Garrett Cole went six and a third last night, but he only gave up one hit, so he didn't throw a lot of pitches. You know, you figure if your starter can only give you 75 pitches, how deep are they going to get them into games, and then can they recover with a weakened offense? I mean, they could be, you know, they could be 10-20 coming out of the gate at the midway point, and even with the expanded playoffs, I don't think they're coming back from that.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a weak. That's a weak division. You got Atlanta, you got Philadelphia, you got the Mets. So a slow start can doom the Nationals, especially what happened to them regarding Soto.
Yeah. So and obviously it's not just the Nationals. It could be any team, you know, in any division. I mean, you know, here, you know, it could be the Cubs or the Cardinals or, you know, the White Sox or the Twins or, you know, even a team like the Astros. You know, if they get out of the gate, you know, on a slow start, you know, it would take a gigantic second half or however you want to look at it for them to rebound. And I just, you know, I don't know if, you know, teams will be able to do that.
Right, and what's worrisome about the Cubs, talking about the teams, is that their starting pitching is so weak that you say they'll maybe pitching 3-4 innings a game, or most of these, especially when you come to Chatwood and Mills, that by the end of the 60 games, that pitching staff's going to be worn out with all the relief pitchers coming in and pitching 2 or 3 innings a game. And they could be having a lot of trouble when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, luckily the advantage is the fact that for a change, you know, everybody's in the same boat when it comes to starting pitching. You know, even like the Dodgers last night, Clayton Kershaw had back issues warming up, so they scratched him and put him on the DL. Or excuse me, the IL now. It's the injury list now. It's not the disabled list. Because that's,
right.
You know,
right.
That's derogatory to handicapped people. So it's the injury list. But, you know, I mean, that's a gigantic blow. I mean, luckily – they were facing the Giants, who aren't looked to be one of the better teams, and Dustin May stepped in and gave them, I think it was 4 1/3 really good innings. And I think they won 8-1. I didn't see any of that game because it started way too late for me. But yeah, I mean, if that, you know, I mean, imagine you figure Kershaw's already going to miss at least a second start, probably a third. He's only going to make probably 12 or 13 starts this season. So now you're looking at your ace only making 9 starts for you. Luckily, the Dodgers are really deep with talent, you know, especially young talent. But if that was to happen to, you know, another team in a tough division, because let's face it, the NL West is, I know everybody says it's the AL Central, but the NL West may be the worst division in baseball because it's just the Dodgers and that's it. You know, if that happened to another team and they lost their number one like that, even for just a couple of starts, it could doom you.
Yeah, it didn't, and obviously it's not going to happen to the Dodgers, and I'm wondering if they're going to be very, very conservative regarding him when he comes back. Are they going to kind of ease him in maybe 3 innings a game and kind of make sure that he's healthy for the playoffs? Because they can afford to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily they're in that position where they actually can. But, yeah, you know, like these other teams, you can't, you know, you can't go out. So, you know, it's just one of, you know, one of those tough situations where it's like, oh, okay, what you know, how do we tread water until this guy gets back?
Yeah, you could see some major crazy stuff happening, but I'm still going with as they say in horse racing parlance, the chalk, the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series. But who am I to differ from everybody else's opinion?
Yeah, you know, and it's so tough to not go that route with the way everything is done this year. You know, I won't be surprised, like, if a team pops up and we're all going, oh, yeah, hey, look at this. This team is, came out of nowhere, because this is the time of year, the kind of year it could happen. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the Dodgers and you look at the Yankees, and they seem to be far and away the best two teams in baseball.
Yeah, without question.
You know, they both added marquee guys in the offseason, and the Dodgers just, I guess they obviously could afford it, but they just threw that huge contract at Mookie Betts. Luckily, he's going to get his money, because I think if he got the free agency, he wasn't going to get it.
Yeah, I think he'll he could live comfortably on what, 340. What's he going to get around that number?
Yeah, something around there. Yeah, so he's he did okay for himself.
Yeah, let's see if the value was there, and he can do the job for them year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, that's always so tough with that. You know, how you figure out who's worth what or how they kind of do it. But yeah, I mean, obviously he's a good player, but I just, again, I don't know how safe I would feel, you know, giving away that kind of money, you know, again, especially in this situation.
Right. And he's got the talent, but who knows what's going to happen down the road. Yeah, there's injuries that can happen, and we've seen it happen before that a superstar turns out to be anything but. But it looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously they think so. So.
But it's when you think about it, it's unfair to some of the small market teams. But we've gone through that before, and they could easily afford that kind of a giant contract, but how about Kansas City? Can you see Kansas City doing that, or Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Or Tampa, or Miami?
You know, if it was Milwaukee, they would only be doing it on a one-year basis, you know, because that's kind of how they do things there. So, but, yeah, a lot of the teams, yeah, we wouldn't see, you know, we wouldn't see that happen with these teams. So,
that's true.
You know,
speaking of Milwaukee, by the way, is the Cub nemesis going to be in the lineup tonight against them, Ryan Braun, or is his back issues going to keep him out?
Yeah, you know, I heard he was as they described, a game time decision. So we'll kind of have to wait and see, you know, what they end up coming up with for him. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the cutouts in the stands at Wrigley Field tonight will be booing vociferously when he comes up to the plate.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know that once they get that going, I'm interested to know how they're going to do that with the noise and stuff. So.
Yeah, can they have piped in boos too? Is that besides cheers?
Yeah, that I don't know. I haven't heard how they're going to go about it. I did hear Fox made some kind of animated format for the fans where there actually will be booing. You know, they'll react differently depending on the situation of the game.
Well, that should be interesting, but is that being politically correct to get away with that?
Yeah, I guess. Who knows how, with the way things go now, what's correct and what's not. But we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, and certainly the games are not going to be the same as they were with there's going to be a ton of atmosphere missing, no matter how much piped-in noise there's going to be and how many cutouts there are. It's just not going to be the same. It's just definitely not going to be the same.
You know, like, I didn't think I would miss not having the crowd until I watched the game last night. And then it was just kind of like, you know.
It's going to take getting used to. And I think the ratings will be good. Nationally televised games, initially the ratings will be good. I'm wondering, though, if it's going to taper off because of the lack of crowds as we get deeper into the season.
Yeah, you know, you do have to kind of wonder, you know, how that will work out for, you know, team. You know, I know, like, last night I saw that they did their their best rating in years, I believe. Let me double check here. But yeah, I heard them talking about it, and I know I saw an article pop up about how fantastic the rating, especially for the first game.
Well, you knew it was going to be a high rating for the first game.
So, yeah, obviously, you know, the second game, a little tougher for the, you know, the East Coast people and stuff to stay up for that, being the fact that it was, you know, out there a little bit. Of course, I can't find the article now, so you just got to believe me on that one.
I do. I'll tell you something that I think the NBA and the NHL really made a bad decision in letting baseball get ahead of them in starting the games, because it's going to – their ratings to begin with never compete with baseball, and it's going to be even worse now that they're going to be a week behind them at least. So that's got to hurt both the NHL and the NBA.
Yeah, I really think the NBA, the NHL screwed up. You know, they were the first one to really come out with a plan, and then for whatever reason, they couldn't get it together. You know, I mean, they couldn't get their cities picked or whatever they couldn't do. You know, they finally worked it out. Of course, the problem is now the fact that they're not starting till August 1st or whatever.
Right, right. That's another week or so before their season starts. So they'll be behind the eight ball to begin with. And there's so many things about all the sports that are questionable to me. You know, let's get back to baseball for a minute. I meant to ask you this question. You think that Toronto's going to have an unfair advantage playing all their home games now in Buffalo, which is a minor league park with the dimensions they have there?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's always tough to say because, you know, obviously the other players are going to get to hit there as well. So I've got to see the park first because I don't know, you know, much about, you know, how the park is set up or anything like that. But yeah, I just kind of wonder. Maybe it does give them a little bit of an advantage at home.
You would think so. You would think so.
You know, of course, once they get used to the field.
Right, and the infamous Toronto Buffalo territory. That reminds me of they used to be very popular in the heyday of wrestling.
Yeah.
But I think it's a smaller dimensions won't be as good or as deep as a major league park. I forgot what the dimensions are at the Buffalo ballpark, but I think they'll have an advantage.
Actually, look them up. I looked them up for you here because that's what I was wondering too. It is natural grass, so that's a plus. Down the lines, left and right field, it's 325, and it's 404 to dead center. The outfield walls are 12 feet in left and then right, then 8 feet from left center to the rest of the way across the stadium. So there you go.
Well, you'll be looking for some high scoring games in Buffalo, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's definitely probably going to be a few more runs scored in the Blue Jay games than in the other games when they're at home.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they wouldn't be considered a bona fide contender this season anyway, so maybe it's academic.
So yeah, you never know. As much as it would be to be like, hey, okay, here you go, you know, they're out. I guess it's possible for them to, you know, pop up and do something, right?
Yeah, well, this kind of a season, I suppose anything can happen. And that certainly gives them a little bit of an edge.
So, yeah, I mean, at least you think it would. So.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the season.
Yeah, because I think they start out on the road. I don't think they go home till next week. So, you know, they'll have a little time to try to figure that out. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of understood why, you know, Canada didn't want to let them play there with the way the virus has been handled here. So I guess it kind of made sense.
Yeah, and I meant to ask you about that regarding the NHL. Are all the games going to be in Canada?
Yes. So.
Well, they think that there's less of a chance of the players contracting something in Canada than the United States. And doesn't that give the Canadian team some kind of a competitive advantage?
You know, I don't think so, just because, you know, they're kind of in the same boat as everybody else. They're, you know, because they're playing in one spot. You know, they're not traveling like baseball's going to, or, you know, football will when that finally starts. It's just, here you are, we're dumping all you guys in this one area and go get them.
Yeah, and I can't see them. I know that some of the playoff games, it's all playoff format now, are going to be in the afternoon during the middle of the week, and I can't see them garnering any kind of a ratings for any of those games.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, the only way to get this done is to do that. You know, the NBA is going to have to do the thing. So,
you know, their ratings are poor to begin with, and you think that it's going to be minuscule when they play some of those afternoon games during the middle of the week.
Yeah, you know, you would think. I mean, you know, again, unfortunately, though, at this point in time, nothing anybody can do about it. It's just like,
no, and you wonder
here,
if
here
some
you
of
go.
The will some of the sponsors balk at this, and if the sponsors agree to pay for a portion of the game and have some ads there, will they expect a discount?
No, you know, they've pretty much already been included. You know, I mean, they know what's going on. They've been kept in the loop. So, you know, there's not a whole lot, you know, at this point anybody can do. It's like, here you go. You know, this is what we're dealing with, and that's it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. I've become used to seeing the Blackhawks win night after night after night on the Chicago Sports Channel, and now I think I'm going to have to clue myself in and gear myself to see them start to lose.
So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, how it works out or how it goes. But I've heard a lot of people predict and they think the Blackhawks will win that first round series with Edmonton. I don't know why, but that seems to be the thought.
Well, maybe sometimes a team is a good opponent. Certain teams are good opponents, and I guess the consensus is that Edmonton and the Blackhawks, they match up well together, and the Blackhawks have a good chance to pull the upset, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just have to kind of, you know, again, you know, not much you can do now, but kind of wait and see what what goes on. But, yeah, I was kind of in the, you know, in the same boat you were with. You know, and I understood the NBA because there was a, you know, anytime you're doing anything with the NBA, their Players Association is going to be involved because when, you know, when they say the NBA is a players league, they're not kidding. You know, out of all the leagues, the NBA is the league that is pretty much exclusively run by the players.
Well,
so you
sure
knew that was going to take a while to kind of work things out and figure out how they were going to go about it. But yeah, I mean, hockey looked like it had its stuff together and they looked like they were going to get rolling, and it just dragged out and dragged out and dragged out. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we're starting August 1st. And I mean, it took forever to find two cities. You know, and at first they weren't even sure they'd be able to play in Canada, so there were no Canadian cities on the original list. You know, it was Vegas and Chicago and Minnesota and, you know, those kind of places. And then all of a sudden Canada got involved, and now we're playing all the games in Canada. And I guess, you know, well, I guess, you know, that's where hockey was originally started, so maybe that'll be better for them.
Yeah, that's true. It's their sport for sure. And do you think that the indoor arena will suffer more than the outdoor arena when it comes to the crowd noise?
Yeah, I'm really wondering how it's gonna go for hockey. Basketball, you know, rarely is the crowd loud enough to where it has an actual effect. But hockey, you know, the crowd is really over the top. So I am kind of wondering how this shakes out for them, and if it kind of deadens the games a little bit.
I'm afraid that's what I've been thinking also. I think it will deaden the games, especially hockey. I mean, like you said, basketball, unless it's a playoff game, it's with a two-point lead for one of the other teams and the last minute of the game, marred by umpteen timeouts and commercials, you won't see much in the way of crowd noise. But you will, you know, in a hockey game, it seems like the fans are really into it from the start to finish, unless it's a blowout. Now what's going to happen?
So, yeah, you know, I mean, like, the only interest I actually have whatsoever in the NBA is now that it's going to be quiet in the arena, you're going to hear all the players swearing.
Well, I'm pretty sure they could. They have that taut. They have that button. Maybe that 7 second delay. They might have to do that. That 7 second delay, and so they can eliminate the possibility of the players cursing during the course of a game.
You know that, and I also wonder if it's going to affect technical fouls. Because now the referees are going to be able to hear what the players are saying walking away. You know, before you could get a foul called on you, you could turn around, walk away, and, you know, and there, you know, you could mumble under your breath, and it would be like, oh, yeah, ain't no problem. Nobody can hear you. Well, now you can't do that. They're going to hear you.
Unfortunately, they start to call technicals because they could hear the players. That you realize how long the games are going to take? How dull it's going to be between the interruptions for technical fouls and the walk, the parade to the free throw line, and the mind boggles at the thought of it.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me because I won't be watching it anyways. I just thought it would kind of be funny to see, you know, how they went about it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to happen. But I wonder if the league will get together with the players and the referees and before the start and go through some things that they would discourage from happening during the course of the game.
So, yeah, you know, but yeah, you know, so that may be something, you know, if you're interested in the NBA, that could be fun. You know, if you want to, you know, just to see how many, you know, if there's more technical calls or, you know, how that kind of works out. But yeah, other than that, I don't know why you would, you know, why you would tune in. I mean, there's no real reason to watch the NBA.
No, there isn't. And I'll be much more interested in watching the NHL. Well, especially because the Blackhawks are at least playing in the first round and the Bulls are relaxing at home.
Yeah. So, and they did we do actually have one baseball game going on right now, and it looks like it's over. Looks like the Mets, let me get the score here, come on. The Mets beat the Braves 1-0. So a little bit of a surprise there that they only scored one run. But interestingly, or what I found interesting, the Mets scored their run on a Yonis Cespedes solo homer. I saw that's the first time he's homered since 2018 because he's basically been injured since then. So I thought that was kind of neat that Cespedes hit the, you know, got the home run.
Yeah, that is interesting. And you think about the Mets, and this is a team that's been decimated by injuries the last few years. If they can stay healthy, and it's a big if, we know there's injuries already, they could be a dangerous team, although I still think Atlanta's going to wind up winning the division.
Yeah, and then the other game going that actually started right now, the Reds are ahead of the Tigers 2-0 in the top of the second, and then the Blue Jays and the Rays are just getting ready to start. And then, you know, obviously as we get to 6 o'clock here, just about everybody is going to be up and rolling, at least the earlier games, you know, with, that are out here in my way.
Well, one thing about the Blues and the Blue Jays and the Rays, the attendance will be very similar to what it would be in a normal game.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Rays, yeah, they you know, that was the big thing on Facebook. Everybody kept posting about, well, you know, everybody's asking the White Sox what it's like to play games with no fans in attendance. You know, and it was like, okay, let's get over this here. You know, we're just kind of out of control, but.
Well, tonight at the at Wrigley Field, the rooftops will be open, I guess, right? There'll be some fans across the street watching the game.
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's the only, you know, the only place they'll be able to watch from. I haven't heard anything about the city closing them off, and I did hear somebody was talking to whoever's running the deal, and they were talking about how they have to wear a mask and social distance and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know NASCAR just did that last Sunday. They had fans at the race. And while the race was going on, yeah, they were all social distancing and everybody was sitting apart. And as soon as the race ended, they all ran to the finish line to try to get pictures of the driver coming to get the checkered flag. So it was like, yeah, okay, well, this didn't work out.
Social distancing worked out to a point, right? But not at the end of the race.
You know, and I assume, you know, that'll happen. You know, if you're going to sit on the rooftop, you know, I'm sure if you can afford to sit on the rooftop, I'm sure you can afford to buy your share of adult beverages. And after a few of those, I won't be surprised to see everybody just sitting on each other's lap. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a great fair price for the rooftop seats. I understand they're going for what, around $350 to $400 a pop.
Yep. So, you know, and the sad part is they're going to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they toss in the food and beverage with that $400 that you're paying for the tickets.
You know, I know. I believe food sometimes is included. Beverages, it's, you know, your Pepsi, you know, they'll give you your soda or your water or stuff like that. But yeah, you don't get the free beer. You pay for that.
Well, you know, for me, the Pepsi would seal the deal for me buying the tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, you know, I'm fine with that because obviously I've, you know, I would have to get home from Wrigley Field and that would be either quite a drive or quite a trip on the train. So yeah, the last thing I need is to be, odd story. I did actually have a friend do that. He went to the game, had a little too much, got on the train, but slept through his stop, and then had to figure out how to get himself back home when he finally woke up. So that was a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. It go 20, 30 miles out of your way, and then you got to turn around and take a train back to the other direction. And if it was a night game, especially, then he might be in trouble.
He was supposed to get off in. Yeah, he was supposed to get off in Elgin, Illinois. He didn't wake up till the train got to Woodstock. So, kind of like, whoops.
Yeah, that's when his imbibing hurt him a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, you can get yourself in trouble that way. So you know you have to be careful.
Yeah.
So we did have when we had just turned the legal age to consume the adult beverages. We went down to a game, you know, when you could still walk up and get tickets to the bleachers at a reasonable price. We went to a game with, it was about seven or eight guys. And at the end, we, you know, you hang out. That's what you do at Wrigley. You hang out in the area. Well, the end of the night, we lost three of them. We ended up not seeing them for like the next 3 days. They stayed in Chicago for 3 days and just kept going to games and hanging out in the bars and whatever they were doing. So they never came home with us. It was like, okay. So
maybe they found some companionship for those 3 days. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I know the one night they did say they slept at a YMCA. I don't know where they found one, but I'm sure there's quite a few in Chicago. They didn't say anything about the other couple nights, so I don't know how they managed that. But, you know, when the bars close at whatever it is, 4 o'clock or whatever, you know, you can just kind of sit down and go to sleep wherever you are, I guess.
Yeah, well, we've talked about many times the huge advantage that Wrigley Field has over the cell is that all the bars in the area, and it's a happening type thing. And unfortunately, the White Sox don't have that capability, and that hurts them.
Yeah, you know, I think Wrigley and Fenway are the only two parks that really have that atmosphere, you know, because they're built into a neighborhood. You know, now, I mean, you know, you go to a park and all these other parks are put up, you know, what's the first thing you say? Well, it's outside of the city. Okay, well, we get to go outside of the city to see the game. Well, I'm not hanging out there. I'm going to come back into the city to do whatever I want to do.
Exactly right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a gigantic advantage for these teams. You know, and I mean, obviously it helps more when your team isn't playing well because you're still going to get people to show up for the experience. But, yeah, I mean, if you get a good team, I mean, those businesses just thrive because people come down just to hang out, even if you can't get into the damn game.
Yeah, it's amazing that some of these places can hang on as to what happened and all that lost income for the bars around Wrigley Field. And I don't think they'll be able to recoup their entire amount of money they lost over the 3 months when there was no baseball there. And now, I mean, what about now when there's no fans? There's no fans in the stands. Are people going to hang out at the bars anyway during the game?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they still went down there just to hang out just because of the area. You know, it's a nice, upscale area to hang out in.
It is.
You know, and, you know, there's going to be people standing out on the street hoping for home runs.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's just, you know, kind of what they do. So.
Well, we're about 20 minutes from game time, huh?
Yeah, I thought I saw 6:08 was the estimate of the first pitch. So, yeah, pretty, right in that area.
I wonder if the Cubs had to get some kind of permission from the city to play the game at night on a Friday, because normally you don't see any night games at Wrigley on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe there are certain exceptions to that rule. And I know they did pass, I don't even know if they had to pass it or make an ordinance or what, but they did say that the Cubs would be allowed to play more weekend night games this year because of the situation going on.
Yeah,
so,
of course. They don't have to worry about the crowd, for the crowds causing a problem in the area when this is happening, at least. Even though the bars will be well packed.
You know, I'm sure some aldermen got a nice little payday out of it too. You know, that wouldn't surprise me to help make that happen for this year.
Well, Chicago does have a well-deserved reputation about those things.
Yeah, they definitely do. It's never a surprise when that one of those guys get caught. What's the new one now? They're looking into Mike Madigan and some kind of dealing he had with AT&T. So, you know, it's always something.
Yeah, it's amazing how this guy has slid by over these years, because he is one of the worst. I guess if you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. And like the old joke goes regarding Chicago, by the way, in terms of voting, and the late Senator Dirksen said this. He said, in Chicago, your vote counts. and counts. And we couldn't argue with that.
No, yeah, it's definitely interesting to live here. You know, it's an odd little state, and that's an odd, you know, that's a nice big odd city there. So, you know, I don't think it'll ever be right. You know, we keep hoping, but it never, you know, there's just too much BS involved. And even if you got a straight person in there, you know, somebody who wasn't bought or biased, they would just be overwhelmed by the people who are already dirty, so it wouldn't matter.
You remember that classic line that one of the aldermen came up with years ago when someone tried to get a job but he didn't have the clout, and the alderman said to him, "We don't want nobody sent." Not grammatically correct, but a classic Chicago line.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. So are you excited that you get to listen to good old Lennon JD in a few minutes here? They got the hometown call.
Yeah, that's right. And there was a funny article when they made the announcement. It looked like there was going to be a deal. There's a site called The Heckler, and it's kind of a satirical site about sports. And it said, yeah, they made a deal, but it's for video only, no audio. You got to sync your radio, which is not a bad idea, actually, if you can do it. And because it's, what about it? There are radios you can get that can you could sync the TV signal with the radio, and otherwise there's about a 6 or 7 second difference between them, and makes it kind of confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it really confusing until you kind of figure out what's going on, especially when, like, you get the crack of the bat on TV and then 7 seconds later you get it on the radio. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I was talking to my last season, talking to my friend who lives in Chicago, and I said, look at that, there's a home run by the Cubs. And he didn't get the home run until he hit a dish. And he didn't get the home run until 3 seconds later.
Yeah, so it depends what service. You know, some of them are ahead of the other ones.
Yeah, I think he had Dish Network. So
yeah.
And Dish Network, by the way, doesn't even do the Chicago station with the Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox. They don't carry them.
Oh, jeez.
Which is he's trying to get rid of them now, but I would not advise a sports fan to get the Dish Network.
Yeah, we had it for a while, but that was when they actually carried it, so it wasn't.
Yeah. They started dropping these services.
Yeah, well, you know, AT&T is good for that too. I'll have a station one day and then it's gone the next day, and it's just kind of like, wait, what happened to it? So
yeah, there isn't one of those NFL network channels not carried anymore on U-verse?
Yeah. The NFL Network itself is no longer carried. So, yeah, they couldn't come to a contract agreement, and they just cut it out. And, you know, I emailed them and got on the good old Twitter and tried to campaign, and all they said was they were trying to save us money as customers.
Yeah. Famous last words. When you're missing an NFL game you wanted to watch.
Yep. So, just kind of how that goes. All right, well, I'm going to go to the next one.